She did not have her mother, but she had Sandra, and their mornings together were a highlight of her week. They told stories from their lives, shared ideas and suggestions about parenting, laughed together as Tim tried to stack the cups on their heads, as Phoebe reached and reached for a sparkly ball, and finally, despite herself, rolled over. Several times that morning, Caroline, still worried, dangled her car keys in front of Phoebe. They flashed, catching the morning light, and Phoebe's small hands flew open, her fingers waving, splayed like starfish. Music, motes of light. She reached for the keys as well. But no matter how she tried, she could not catch them. "Next time," Sandra said, "wait and see. It will happen." At noon, Caroline helped them carry things to the car, then stood on the porch with Phoebe in her arms, tired already, but happy too, waving as Sandra pulled her station wagon out into the street. When she went inside, Leo's record was skipping, playing the same three bars again and again. "Ornery old man," she thought, starting up the stairs. "Terrible old coot." "Couldn't you turn that down?" she began, exasperated, pushing open the door. But the record was skipping in an empty room. Leo was gone. Phoebe began to cry, as if she had some sort of internal barometer for strife and tension. He must have slipped out the back when she was helping Sandra. Oh, he was clever, even though these days he sometimes left his shoes in the refrigerator. He took great pleasure in tricking her like this. 3 times before, Leo had slipped away, once stark naked. Caroline hurried downstairs and shoved her feet into a pair of Doro's loafers, a size too small, cold. A coat for Phoebe, nestled in the stroller. For herself, she'd go without. The day had turned overcast with low gray clouds. Phoebe whimpered, her small hands flailing as they walked past the garage to the alley. "I know," Caroline murmured, touching her head. "I know, sweetheart, I know." She spotted one of Leo's footprints in a melting crust of snow, the large waffled sole of his boots, and felt a rush of relief. He had come this way then, and he was dressed. Well, at least he had his boots on. At the end of the next block, she came to the 105 steps that led down to Cooning Field. It was Leo who had told her how many there were, one night over supper, when he was in a civil mood. Now he was at the bottom of the long cement cascade, his hands hanging at his sides, his white hair sticking out, looking so puzzled, so lost, and so distressed that her anger dissolved. Caroline did not like Leo March. He was not likable, but whatever animosity she held for him was complicated by compassion. For in moments like these, she saw how the world looked at him and saw an old man, senile and forgetful, rather than the universe that had been, that was still, Leo March. He turned and saw her, and after a moment, confusion cleared from his face. "Watch this!" he shouted. "Watch this woman and weep!"